reputation.
So, what's in it?
Your inheritance. His coy response frustrates me. I pick up the lock and try to force it open, as I've always tried doing. Of course, it doesn't budge.
You can't open it without me, and I can't open it without you, Henri says.
Well, how do we open it? There isn't a keyhole.
By will.
Oh, come on, Henri, quit being secretive. He takes the lock from me.
The lock only opens when we're together, and only after your first legacy appears.
He walks to the front door and sticks his head out. Then he closes and locks it. He walks back.
Press your palm against the side of the lock, he says,
and I do. It's warm, I say.
Good. That means you're ready.
Now what? He presses his palm against the other side of the lock and interlocks his fingers with mine. A second passes. The lock snaps open. Amazing, I say.
It's protected by a Loric charm, just like you are. It can't be broken. You could run over it with a steamroller, and it wouldn't even be dented. Only the two of us can open it together. Unless I die, then you can open it yourself.
Well, I say, I hope that doesn't happen. I try to lift the top of the box, but Henri reaches over and stops me.
Not yet, he says. There are things in here you aren't ready to see. Go, sit on the couch.
Henri, come on!
Just trust me, he says.
I shake my head and sit down. He opens the box and removes a rock that is probably 6 inches long, 2 inches thick. He relocks the box, then brings the rock over to me. It is perfectly smooth and oblong, clear on the outside but cloudy in the center. What is it? I ask.
A Loric crystal.
What's it for?
Hold it, he says,
handing it to me. The second my hands come into contact with it, both lights snap on in my palms. They are even brighter than the day before. The rock begins to warm. I hold it up to look more closely at it. The cloudy mass in the center is swirling, turning in on itself like a wave. I can also feel the pendant around my neck heating up. I'm thrilled by all this new development. My whole life has been spent impatiently waiting for my powers to arrive. Sure, there were times when I hoped they never would, mainly so we could finally settle somewhere and live a normal life. But for now, holding a crystal that contains what looks like a ball of smoke in its center, and knowing my hands are resistant to heat and fire, and that more legacies are on their way that will then be followed by my major power, the power that will allow me to fight. Well, it's all pretty cool and exciting. I can't wipe the smile from my face. What is happening to it?
It's tied to your legacy. Your touch activates it. If you weren't developing Lumen, then the crystal itself would light up the way your hands are. Instead, it's the other way around.
I stare at the crystal, watching the smoke circle and glow.
Shall we start? Henri asks.
I nod my head rapidly. Hell yes! The day has turned cold. The house is silent, aside from the occasional gust of wind rattling the windows. I lie on my back on top of the wooden coffee table. My hands dangle over the sides. At some point, Henri will build a fire beneath them both. My breathing is slow and steady, as Henri has instructed.
You have to keep your eyes closed, he says. Just listen to the wind. There might be a slight burning in your arms when I drag the crystal up them. Ignore it as best as you can.
I listen to the wind blow through the trees outside. I can somehow feel them sway and bend. Henri begins with my right hand. He presses the crystal against the back of it, then pushes it up my wrist and onto my forearm. There is a burn as he has predicted, but not enough of one to make me pull my arm free.
Let your mind drift, John. Go where you need to go.
I don't know what he's talking about, but I try to clear my mind and breathe slowly. All at once, I feel myself drift away. From somewhere, I can feel the sun's warmth upon my face, and a wind far warmer than what is blowing beyond our walls. When I open my eyes, I'm no longer in Ohio. I'm above a vast expanse of treetops. Nothing but jungle as far as I can see. Blue sky, the sun beating down, a sun almost double the size of Earth's. A warm, soft wind blows through my hair. Down below, rivers forge deep ravines that cut through the greenery. I am floating above one of them. Animals of all shapes and sizes, some long and slender, some with short arms and stout bodies, some with hair, and some with dark-colored skin that looks rough to the touch, are drinking from the cool waters at the river's bank. There is a bend in the horizon line far off in the distance, and I know that I am on Lorien. It's a planet 10 times smaller than Earth, and it's possible to see the curve of its surface when looking from far enough away. Somehow, I'm able to fly. I rush up and twist in the air, then torpedo down and speed along the river's surface. The animals lift their heads and watch with curiosity, but not with fear. Lorien, in its prime, covered with growth inhabited by animals, in a way, it looks like what I imagine Earth looked like millions of years ago, when the land ruled the lives of its creatures before humans arrived and started ruling the land. Lorien in its prime. I know that it no longer looks like this today. I must be living a memory. Surely it isn't my own. And then the day skips ahead to darkness. Off in the distance, a great display of fireworks begins, rising high in the sky and exploding into shapes of animals and trees, with the dark sky and the moons and a million stars serving as a brilliant backdrop.
I can feel their desperation,
I hear from somewhere. I turn and look around me. There is nobody there.
They know where one of the others is, but the charm still holds. They can't touch her until they've killed you first, but they continue to track her.
I fly up high, then dip low, seeking the source of the voice. Where is it coming from?
Now is when we have to be most cautious. Now is when we have to stay ahead of them.
I push forward, towards the fireworks. The voice unnerves me. Perhaps the loud booms will drown it out.
They had hoped to kill us all well before your legacies developed, but we've kept hidden. We have to stay calm. The first three panicked. The first three are dead. We have to stay smart and cautious. When we panic, is when mistakes are made. They know it will only get harder for them the more developed the rest of you are. And when you are all fully developed, the war will be waged. We will hit back and seek our revenge, and they know it.
I see the bombs fall from miles above Lorien's surface. Explosions shake the ground and the air. Screams carry on the wind. Bursts of fire sweep across the land and the trees. The forest burns. There must be 1,000 different aircraft, all dropping from high in the sky to land on Lorien. Mogadorian soldiers pour out, carrying guns and grenades that hold powers far greater than what is used in warfare here. They are taller than we are, and still look similar except in the face. They have no pupils, and their irises are a deep magenta color, some of them black. Dark, heavy circles rim their eyes, and there's a pallor to their skin. An almost discolored, bruised quality to it. their teeth glint between lips that never seem to close.